Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week we have a chance to talk with a different community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And our good friend Penny Cottle with the Monroe County Health Department is joining us this morning. Hi, Penny. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for being here this morning. I was wondering if you could give us an update since you've been here. Like, you know, what's our status right now? How are we doing?
Well, it's a little mixed. Certainly, I think since the last time I spoke with you, lots of things have changed in mm-hmm. that vaccine is here and it's available and more accessible than it's been. But, you know, we just started having vaccine in mid-December, and that was at the hospital for healthcare providers. And here we are just at, 5 months mm-hmm. later. And in Indiana, over 2.1 million people are fully vaccinated. And that accounts for 39%, I think a little more than 39% of the eligible people in Indiana are fully vaccinated. In Monroe County, we are looking at over 42% of our eligible population is now fully vaccinated.
That's great progress.
Yes, we're happy about that. We want it to continue. Mm-hmm. It's very important that we get as many people vaccinated as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that we know and that the information is looking at, certainly how vaccine was rolled out in Indiana was by age. Mm-hmm. And that was because the deaths that we were seeing and mm-hmm. the serious hospitalizations were in people who were 60 and over. And we have seen a sharp decline in deaths and in hospitalizations and deaths among that age group because they were eager to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that is one proof that the vaccine is working and it's doing what we want it to do. And so we want to continue as more and more people become eligible for vaccine to continue to vaccinate in those same kinds of numbers. You know, we want as many people vaccinated as possible. And
sure.
That will help us keep people from dying. It will keep people out of the hospital. It will allow us to, you know, be closer and interact with our family and our friends in a more normal way.
And, you know, as you're talking about that, you know, about that it's been about 5 months now, do you see people being more encouraged and more confident getting the vaccine since it's been a couple months and overall been very few serious side effects for folks?
You know, it's probably a little bit of a mixed bag. Certainly, I think that people should look at the data and feel very confident that mm-hmm. these vaccines are safe and effective. Pfizer, I believe, is about ready to submit for full approval. And, you know, so that will mean that it has went through all of the rigors and not just emergency use, but full approval. And so we're anxiously watching that. We know that the FDA just approved Pfizer for 12 to 15. So that age group is being expanded. Now, the Center for Disease Control, the ACIP, will be looking at that and making final decision on that on Wednesday.
Okay.
So by the time this airs, that should be done, and we should have guidance on how to move forward with our 12 to 15-year-olds.
So then you anticipate that age group then will also be eligible for vaccination at that point?
Yes, and they would be eligible for Pfizer vaccine, mm-hmm. which is what we have available mm-hmm. at IU, Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and mm-hmm. we are also right now making plans with our schools to offer a few clinics kind of within the school system, within the school buildings. But just because so much is going on and Pfizer transporting it is more difficult and that kind of thing.
For sure.
We won't be able to go to each and every school, but we will have some clinics available, but encourage everybody to make it a family day and go to Assembly Hall and see the beautiful facility and get vaccinated. So if you haven't as a family, if everyone in your household hasn't been, we encourage you to make an appointment. That makes it super easy. But if it is easier for you to just walk in, then there are walk-in times available and you can walk in without pre-registering.
Great. And to get information on those times or to register and get all that good walk, all the information you just talked about, where's the best place for people to go?
The best place to go is ourshot.gov, and that is the Indiana Department of Health's website. It's the vaccine website, and it will tell you where your resources are, what vaccines at which places, all of those things. But in Monroe County, certainly we have Assembly Hall. IU Med Arts Building is currently doing Pfizer vaccine as well. I think they have some Johnson & Johnson, but this is their last week to do those first doses because Assembly Hall has the capacity to kind of absorb that. And so they will, IU Health will finish out second doses for people, just like we did at the convention center. And we had, yesterday, we had a specialty clinic at the convention center. We have some other second dose clinics at the convention center yet, but by and large, that is closed in terms of regular days open. But Kroger pharmacies in Bloomington, Walmart, Williams Brothers, all have vaccine available as well. And so we would encourage people to simply find something that meets within your schedule and your accessibility and get that vaccine.
And of course, no offense to the Med Arts Building, but Assembly Hall is still Assembly Hall, right?
Absolutely. Like, who doesn't want to go to Assembly Hall? So many, I mean, you know, there's a lot to see, and it's been fairly recently, you know, remodeled.
And that's right.
It is a sight to see, and we hope that that is a draw for other people. You know, if you were kind of thinking, oh, I don't know, then there's an extra reason to go. Just go and see Assembly Hall.
Now, it's interesting, too, because there's, you know, of course, a lot of information out, you know, some good and some not as good about, you know, COVID and the different variants. And it's, you know, it's true. I've heard some things, too, that are saying now that even if you had COVID early on, that the variants, though, that you still could get reinfected with a variant, but a lot of these vaccines actually protect you from some of the more common variants.
Correct. And if you have, even if you have been sick before, once you have recovered, we would encourage you to be vaccinated. We don't know how long that immunity may last. You know, there's still lots we're learning. And yes, you're correct. There, these vaccines are, no vaccine is 100% effective. So there will be some breakthrough cases, some people who may get reinfected. You know, that will happen. So getting vaccinated just protects you more. And, you know, we anticipate that we will learn more and more about how far out immunity is. They do seem right now to be effective against variants that we're seeing. And, you know, the other thing about being vaccinated, I mean, this gets us to a more normal, but it also, it reduces the spread of infection, the spread of variant. And if more people are vaccinated and protected, then there's less variants to develop.
Yeah, if you could talk about that a little bit more, just you had mentioned, you know, about 42% of the Monroe County population that's eligible has been vaccinated, but that's not enough yet to stop the spread, is it?
Well, probably not. And there, you know, it's kind of complicated. We don't have a magic number. Mm-hmm. We don't, the CDC doesn't. And there's never a perfect number, I think, for that herd immunity that you hear people talking about. But you have to take into account how many people have been infected and may have some immunity that way, all of those kinds of things. I've said, you know, I want to start with 50 or 60%, and you're going to hear me say, let's get that higher, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, not everyone is eligible. So we're kind of focused on our eligible population, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. You tend to hear people talk about needing it to be, you know, over 70%. But, you know, we want, in our world of vaccines, we strive to get into the 90 percentile of our vaccinations. Mm-hmm. So we like to have our vaccination rate in that 90% range for all of our vaccines. So mm-hmm. look at school vaccines and that kind of thing. We want a high rate. And so we want that with this as well. And again, mm-hmm. it will help reduce the development of variants because we'll be protected.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of time, you know, when you talk about the status, you use that number, but you look at, you know, are we under or over 100 cases per 100,000? And how are we doing right now in terms of our status and numbers? And what are you seeing?
Yeah, so in terms of kind of community spread, we look at a variety of things. So there's, again, no one magic number. Our positivity rate still is low. It's under 5%. Mm-hmm. It is ticking up just a little bit. And some of that's to be expected because as testing numbers go down, then you're going to have a higher percentage. Even if you have a low number of people who are positive, it's going to, you know, change that percentage a little mm-hmm. bit. Cases per 100,000 kind of give you another sense of what's the spread in the community. So we have been over 100, which kind of puts us in what would be orange or moderately high level. Mm-hmm. This week, I think people will be pleased in that that's dropping. So we should come in this week under 100 per 100,000. And so that drops us down in that area into yellow. And there is a state advisory map that people are probably familiar with. If they go mm-hmm. on the state's website, you can kind of see where people are in terms of these metrics. So when you look at that map, you can look and see where we are in terms of percent positivity, mm-hmm. where we are in terms of cases per 100,000, and then where we are in those two things factored in together. So right now we're in yellow, and because our percent positivity is low, even though our cases per 100,000 have been higher. So that's put us in a yellow advisory. And when that comes down, you have to show a downward trend. So you've got to be mm-hmm. lower for 2 weeks before you will come out of that advisory. So our numbers are improving this week. If they continue to improve, then next week we will probably be in blue, but we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully our numbers will continue to drop.
Mm-hmm. There's been, thank you for that explanation. There's been a lot of conversation at the state level lately, of course, about the decision-making with this and, you know, the conversation about, you know, who among the county health leaders makes the decisions for this. And so there's been some legislation about that recently. Is that impacting how the decisions are made lately, or could you talk about that a little bit more?
Certainly. So Senate Bill 5 does change authorities, and it really takes it takes the process and makes it longer, quite mm-hmm. quite honestly. So normally your health officer has the authority to make public health decisions, right? And when you are in a public health emergency or there's an emergent situation, they can act very quickly. Mm-hmm. What this new law will do is require that the county commissioners if you're looking at our how we're structured locally, our
sure.
county commissioners will then have to approve any of those health orders or health regulations before they can go into effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us locally, we've been watching this. Our commissioners are certainly very supportive of public health and letting mm-hmm. the science guide the decisions. And they went ahead and approved our regulations a week or two ago. So
wonderful.
We were kind of set and put that in place. They also will have a system for appeals. So what that will mean, and it's not an appeal to the regulation itself, but it also means that if we try to enforce that regulation, then there's always an appeal process anyway, but the appeal process will go to the commissioners again. So they have to have a process for what they will hear and when they will handle those cases and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it does add a layer of complexity. It prevents very quick response in terms mm-hmm. of public health threats. But I think locally, it will not create turmoil. It will just slow some of the processes.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. And as you know, we're moving forward, and of course, weather's getting nicer, and we're getting into, you know, graduations, and of course, some of our summer holidays. What are some of the recommendations now for things like, you know, gathering limits, social distancing, facial covering? Where are we at with all of that?
Certainly. So our current regulations right now in the county, the gathering limit is still at 50. Mm-hmm. Within city limits, it's 15. Now, the Board of Health does meet on May 19th, and they will be assessing where we are. Our current regulation runs through the 28th of May.
Mm-hmm. And
again, they're meeting on the 19th, so that if they decide to simply make changes to it, keep portions of it, then that will have to go to the commissioners, right, for approval. So kind of working in that timeline. This is where I would say getting vaccinated is key, because you can do more if you mm-hmm. are fully vaccinated, you know, but the guidance is changing in terms of being outside and what you can do in small groups and things like that. So I do think our regulations will address that more going forward. And I anticipate that the CDC will continue to put out new guidance as things change and numbers continue to drop nationally, mm-hmm. Hospitalizations drop and those kinds of things. I think we'll see more. And as quite honestly, as more people are vaccinated, then it allows you to do more as well. So, you know, certainly you can visit with other people who are fully vaccinated, or if you are fully vaccinated and one other household maybe hasn't been, you may be able to meet with them without your mask and mm-hmm. less worry about that social distancing. I will tell you, Mother's Day, it was really nice to have, you know, my sister and my mom and myself all be fully vaccinated mm-hmm. and to be able to be together. So that was a wonderful feeling. And I would encourage people to think about those opportunities to be with family and friends in a more normal way. And you can do that if you're fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And that includes for if you're doing Pfizer, Moderna, getting both shots, correct?
Correct. Fully vaccinated, if you are doing Pfizer and Moderna, it's a two-dose regimen. So mm-hmm. 3 or 4 weeks after the first shot dose vaccine, you get your second, and then you wait 2 weeks, and then you should be fully vaccinated. It takes a little while for your body to develop that full immunity. And with Johnson & Johnson, that's a one-dose mm-hmm. vaccine. And so 2 weeks after that, you're considered mm-hmm. fully vaccinated. And the other thing about being fully vaccinated, especially as we talk about our teenagers, right, is that if they play sports, then mm-hmm. we saw lots of sporting events change when somebody on the team became infected. And now mm-hmm. multiple players may need to be quarantined. If you're fully vaccinated, then if you were exposed to the virus, you are not required to quarantine. You just need to monitor for symptoms. So as long as you remain asymptomatic, you don't need to do anything else. If you develop symptoms, obviously, then you would isolate and be tested.
Now that seems like a huge advantage then to being fully vaccinated, like you're saying, because then if you have exposure, you still can go about your normal activities and with just the monitoring instead of having to completely isolate yourself.
Exactly. Yes.
And with the timelines you're mentioning, that's helpful because say somebody's planning something like, you know, you were talking about Mother's Day, but you have a picnic coming up or an important family event. You can kind of plan backwards then in terms of when you should do your vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Absolutely.
No, very, very helpful information. So any last parting words or advice for folks is?
You know, the best vaccine is the one that you're eligible for and is available to you. But if you have a preference, again, search ourshot.gov and it will tell you what vaccine is available where. And so we just encourage everyone to please consider being vaccinated. If you have questions or concerns, the Center for Disease Control's website, the State Health Department's website has lots of information. Talk to your healthcare provider or other trusted person that maybe has been vaccinated and been through it so they can kind of guide you through that as well.
That's really great advice. Maybe next time we talk, our vaccination rate will be up in the 50s. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be, yes, 50s, 60s, 70s. Let's
there
go.
There you go. Set our goals high. Wonderful. Well, Penny, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this morning. And it was great information and telling people again, reminding folks to look at ourshot.gov. And thanks for making all of this so convenient for people.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much. This has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.